Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
And we're back, Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt here, not from the Casabella Design Group studios, I'm from Parts Unknown right now, otherwise known as Kyle Studios. And, of course, as always, the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And I am joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast business. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, how we feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling great, Big Seth, man. But I'm loving your setup right there, bro.
You know, it's pretty nice, right? It's definitely an upgrade. Talk about a come up.
That looks like a cathedral right there, man. Like, yeah. Are you in the Taj Mahal right now, man? Where you
it,
at,
it
bro?
It feels like it. It definitely feels like it. But I'm definitely – I am with the right people. Just know that.
Of course. Of course you are. Of course you are, man. And, I know where your parts that are unknown are right now. And,
that's right.
You know, we'll keep that a secret right now. But, man, the great people that you're with where you are – are great people, man, and great listeners of the show, man. So I'm happy that, you know, you're able to I'm happy you're able to join us tonight, bro, because, you know, sometimes, Big Seth, man, you're all over the country and we never know where you're at. And we still don't know where you're at, but I know where you're at. But don't tell them where you're at.
No, that's it. We got to keep some things, a little left to be desired for sure. But excited to be here. Wasn't going to miss it. We couldn't miss 2 weeks in a row. And also excited to have the entire crew back here. So, of course, Emmy adjacent producer, the legendary Savak, making things happen over there in the garage, in the paddock. Sun Sentinel columnist and host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk. He is Chris Perkins and the heart and soul of Van Horn Law Group, Chad Van Horn. We're all back in action. And I should, I know you said we don't know where I'm at. I know he's in the chat somewhere, but our guy Andrew Crowell is not only in the chat, but he's a lot closer to the show than he's ever been. So I'm just introducing him
Andrew.
As well. That's it. Yep. You can hear him. If things get a little rowdy in the background, just know you know who to blame. So, gentlemen, I know that's been a lot of World Cup talk, understandably, but there is actually some things going on with our Miami Dolphins. I know it's not like in-season, mid-season form, but the first thing I need to start with, they did release their training camp schedule today, right? So their training camp schedule is going to include 8 practices that are open to the public. The first one starts August 2nd, so get that in your calendars now. I know Perk already has. Is Feronis working the first day, Perk? Are you taking the first day off?
It's all hands on deck for the first day. Right. You know that. Yeah. You can't take the first day off. That's like not showing up to work on the first day of employment.
I thought it would be gangster. I thought that's just how you let them know. Didn't Bill Parcells do that? I think he took the first day off from work. I don't know. So then there's an additional practice that's being offered exclusively to season ticket holders. And then fans are also going to have the opportunity to view one of the joint practices with the New York Giants. That's going to be on August 20th. And then there will be one open practice at Hard Rock Stadium. That reminds me, I have to tell you a story. Remember, we used to do the open practice at the Orange Bowl, Juice. We used to have that scrimmage at the Orange Bowl.
Right.
And we had that flood that time. Another story for another day. So training camp schedule has been released. There's giveaways for the first 1,000 fans each day, food trucks, garage sale. And Chris Perkins is going to be out there on day one.
Yeah, Chris Perkins will be out there every day. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm disappointed for the fans. There's only one joint practice that they get to see. But I think there would only be two of them, because I think Atlanta has a joint practice here also that's not going to be available. And then they go to
Washington,
yeah, I was going to say D.C., right. So, but that's fine, man. I mean, training camp's right around the corner. I'm fired up. I'm excited. I'm off next week, but I'm just going to be killing time till training camp starts. I'm telling you, it's a sad reflection on my life, but I can't wait till camp starts.
It is a little sad, and I think I have something to say about it later in the show.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Perk, I mean, training camp obviously is way different than it was when I participated in training camp. And the fact that they have, you know, a certain number of open days, and then you get an opportunity, like you talked about, to, you know, go to all of them. Will you be at every single practice, Perk, or will you just pick and choose? You got to be at every single one of them, don't you?
No, I choose to be at every single one of them. And I think I need to be at every single one of them, especially in the first year of Jeff Hafley and Malik Willis, all the change, the rebuild. You know what's funny? You mentioned how training camp is different nowadays. Y'all know that the starters get most of their work in the joint practices. They don't play in the preseason games. They usually don't do much on a regular practice. I see at the NFL a lot of start charging for the joint practices and have the preseason games be free. Because that's you want to see the guys in the joint practices, right?
Yeah.
That's the starters and the preseason games. That's the draftees and the UDFAs. I mean, make that free, charge for the joint practices. But it's exciting, man. I camp is right around the corner. So many questions to answer for the Dolphins, and I like being out there with the fans. I see Juice out there mixing with the fans and everything. The fans love him. I love going out there and mixing with the fans, being that close. So I can't wait for camp to start.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Well, easy for us to say. And again, I'm going to discuss that later. And Chad, do the Steelers still hold training camp in Latrobe?
They do. They do. And before we get to that, Perk, I know you're signing autographs at camp, right?
I charge people for pictures. I don't sign autographs. I charge people for pictures,
Bill. Hey, Bill Russell.
Every dollar that comes in helps with those HOA dues, for sure.
Exactly. How do you think he bought new Wi-Fi?
And it is a nice Pittsburgh tradition where they still make it out to Latrobe and the fans get to come out there. And it really, what I love about preseason and this part of it, and I think you guys will agree, where not everybody can afford to go to an NFL game just because it's so ridiculous. So the access that you'll get to see some of these people that, you know, people are crazy about and especially for the kids and everything else, like that, I feel like the players take extra time to make sure that, you know, the kids get to really see them, talk to them, and spend time with them, which clearly that can't happen during the regular season. And if it does, it's going to be at a premium, sponsored by some premium ad partner of the NFL. So that's the beautiful part of this season.
Well, you know, Big Seth, you know, the best part about Latrobe is really Rolling Rock beer, man.
Yes,
you know, man, we can keep it a buck, man. Let's keep it a buck here, man. Rolling Rock is, you know, Brood and Latrobe, and hopefully the Steelers, because I don't like them, you know, hopefully they partake in a lot of Latrobe, you know, Rolling Rock beer while they're in training camp. You know what I mean? That'd be a great situation for anybody that's playing against them in the AFC. Because they're an AFC team, I want them to enjoy the atmosphere, you know, the mountains and the beers that are going on right there in Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
It's kind of you, Deuce. It's kind.
And Seth, what's funny about that, though, is, like, that is the only distraction that there is in Latrobe.
Yeah. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. So, fun fact, I, in 2000, Juice, you know, Harvey would have me advance these games. I had to advance a Dolphins-Steelers preseason game. So I had to go up two or three days early to a preseason game. In Latrobe, I slept in one of the dorm rooms there on a cot. You know, I slept in a cot in the dorm room. I'm wondering, what in the hell am I doing here? But, so I had my own training camp experience.
Well, Big Seth, they picked the right guy because you wasn't going to go out and kick it. You wasn't going to find nothing to get into.
No,
they picked the right guy to advance that game because Seth is going to be all about business. He's going to sleep on the cot. He's going to get the information we need. He's going to bring all the hard copies of the newspapers back to us, all the things that we need. Seth's going – that's the guy to send to Latrobe. He couldn't send my ass to Latrobe because I'd have found a way to get to Pittsburgh. I might have jetted over to Cleveland. I might have found a way to get all the way across to Philadelphia. I don't know, except I've been the wrong guy to do an advance on that game right there. Yeah.
Well, that's why none of the players were ever sent out for advance.
Real quick, though, do the Dolphins have anything like that where, like, they have to bunk at a certain place or they're always coming from home?
Well, it's funny that you asked. Now, Juice wouldn't know about this, but the team used to have to stay in Rolling Hills, and this is when they were in Davie. Prior to that, St. Thomas University.
Yeah. What do you mean I wouldn't know about that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, there's some bed check rumors that shall I go on, or do you want me to go to the next topic?
Yeah, go ahead, man. It's 30 years later. Go ahead and tell on me, Big Seth. You tattletale. You a tattletale, man.
You had to go ahead and ask. I tried to just throw it in there slick like, and nobody would have said it. Yeah. Okay, fine, if you want to go there. So when the Dolphins did training camp in Davie, they would have to stay in Rolling Hills, okay? So Rolling Hills now is Grand Oaks and, you know, beautiful private golf course. Rolling Hills was a public golf course, the old Caddyshack golf course, and the hotel was damn near run down. I mean, it wasn't quite St. Thomas University. It was in bad shape. From what I understand, the mattresses were a little rough on OJ's back. And so he might stop by the hotel for a little night treatments. But by the time bed check came around, I don't know what deal he had going on there. But rumor has it. You know, what room were you supposed to be in Rolling Hills? And was that one always empty?
You know, I was on the first floor. It's all that matter, Big Seth.
Easy access.
Being on the first floor was critical with a sliding glass door out the back door.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, bottom line was this, man. You know, as a young jit, and then as I got older, you know, I had back problems, Big Seth. And I'll take that to my grave that I had back problems where, I need to sleep in my own bed.
Fair enough.
You know, and my own bed was only 10 minutes away. And as long as I was back to training camp in time, what's the point? Like, you know what I mean? What's the point of me staying there when I can go home, get a good night's sleep, and have a great day at work the next day? And that's all I cared about.
And that's a true professional. But what happens if, like, 85 other guys all took that same approach?
Well, they better show up and have a great day at work the next day.
Yeah.
If they didn't, then they need to keep their ass in the hotel in those raggedy-ass beds. You know what I mean? And not only that, man, you had to go – I mean, I'm glad Rolling Hills is gone, but you had to fumigate that damn thing 2 days before you went there. You know what I mean? You had to put you had to fog that thing first because, you know, I was there by myself, but I might have had company, if you know what I'm saying, in that room, man. So, you know, it wasn't the company that I wanted. It was a company that was a little smaller, way smaller, and they were like, you know.
They had wings.
Yeah, they was trying to holler at a brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, too good. So, yeah.
Well, Well, it's actually funny in the local media in Pittsburgh, and I assume it would happen for Miami as well, where they show the luxury items they're bringing in, and there are guys that bring in mattresses. Like they bring in,
mattress deals now. They got mattress deals now, man. Like it's part of the NFL, you know. And let me tell you, let me tell you one other thing about Rolling Hills, and people love this part. You know, before Larry Izzo and Zach Thomas were the dudes. You know, we had those rookies. It was on a golf course. I mean, you know, you said that. Caddyshack golf course.
Yeah, yeah.
We had them run out to one of the greens, butt naked, touch the green, and run back. Yeah. That was part of – that's minor hazing right there, right, Big Seth?
Like, with bags over their head.
With bags over their head because we didn't want anybody to know who they were.
Well, that's before cell phone video, obviously.
Before everything, before all that. You know what I mean? And I'm sure the biggest problem for them was probably that they didn't recognize it no matter what because, I mean, naked with bags on their head.
Juice, what are you on, man?
I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there.
All right, let's keep it moving to some current events. We'll go from current events.
Chris Perkins. I feel like we're already in the legal zone.
Definitely. We were looking for a topic, Chad, and I think we landed one. So, Perk, I know you've been all wrapped up in the World Cup, but you still have had time to write.
Yeah.
And I always keep up with what you're writing.
Yeah.
And on July 6th, you wrote an article, and I gotta read this headline. I just got to read this headline, and then we can go from there. Can Dolphins trio of Achane, Brewer, Brooks outperform Marino, Taylor, Thomas? Perk, help me out here, man. Help me out. At least tell me I don't write the titles. I don't write the headlines. Like, what are we talking about, man?
All right. With Chad as my legal counsel here, I will say I did write that headline. I probably shouldn't have said anything, but I did write that headline. So here's what the column was about. If you read it, you know. So You know, if you're a team, you have your leadership trio or your leadership group. Back in the day, Marino and JT and Zach were a leadership group. It goes to, you know, whoever you want to say, Ryan Tannehill, Mike Pouncey, and Rashad Jones. Last year with the Dolphins, it's Tua and it's Waddle and it's Tyreek. This year with the Dolphins, it's Achane, it's Brew, and it's Brooks. I'm talking about the playoff performance over multi-year period. The Marino and JT and Zach group was from 98 to 2000. They were 3-3 in the playoffs. And I know Dan didn't play in 2000. That was Jay Fiedler. But that's the standard. That's what you have to do. So can Achane, Brooks, and Brew over a 3-4 year period equal or surpass 3 playoff victories? And I'll go a little bit further. If they don't, I would have a hard time calling this rebuild a success because that's not a really high standard that you're talking about, right? 3 playoff wins in 3 years. That's very respectable, but that's not a high standard. If you don't do that, I'm not sure that this rebuild is a success, but that's what I'm getting at. This leadership group, can they produce that many playoff victories in X amount of years, 3-4? I don't know if they're together for 5 years, but that's what it was about, a leadership trio, and what can you produce in the playoffs?
So, but you recognize, and maybe it was intent. Don't smoke crack water. You you recognize, and again, maybe it was intentional that when you throw those three names out and three players that we're very happy to have on this team, next to Dan Marino, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, three Hall of Famers, one and you know Mount Rushmore type Dolphins, maybe the greatest pure passer in the history of professional football. Like, is that intentional so that you make sure people are going to read this thing on July 6th? Or I know you're talking about the playoff win piece, and we're going to talk about that in a second. I know you're talking about the playoff win piece, but when you mention those three guys, you're almost setting them up for failure to say, can they outperform these three guys?
It's a headline that's designed to be provocative. designed to get you.
All right, well, mission accomplished.
To get you to quit. And if you, but if you read like three or four paragraphs into it, it explains. It puts the context to it. And so I know that people want 140 characters now, right? That's what you want. You don't want to read, you know, eight paragraphs or 12 paragraphs. But that's what it was. It is this leadership trio. What can you accomplish? That this is kind of your standard of, if you're going to be a successful trio, if this crew is going to be successful, this is what you need to match or surpass. And you know, I think that's a fair standard for them.
Well, it isn't. And this is why I'll say that, okay. Aside from the fact that those are three icons here,
yes.
But this is year one of a rebuild. So you're mm-hmm. counting they in the next 3 years, starting 98 was Jimmy Johnson's third year as yep. head coach. And you had a veteran player like a Dan Marino. You didn't have a quarterback that's really getting his first opportunity to be a star. You had a whole different scenario there. You had a mix of veterans. You had yep. the old Jimmy Duffy's and the Tim right. Bowen.
And then Pat, Richmond Webb. Yeah.
Right. And Sam and Pat, those guys were developed in that time. Mm-hmm. 98, you know, he was in his second year, JT in his second year, Zach in his third year. But you're Achan, Brewer, and Brooks, if you're saying in the next 3 years, the odds of them having a playoff win this year are
zero.
Zero, right?
Yep.
So you're basically saying that they have to win three playoff games in 2 years or it's a failure. And I don't know.
No. I never say it failure. The word
I thought you just said if they don't, that you look at it, this rebuild as a failure.
No, that the rebuild can't be called a success. It can just be there, right? It's just
a rebuild.
Well, look, no, I don't think the Ryan Tannehill years were a failure. Do you? I mean, you didn't achieve as much as you wanted to.
Right.
They weren't a failure. I think that's like labeling a draftee a bust. You don't like I wouldn't say that. I don't know. It's too early to say for Kenneth Grant, but I wouldn't let you. There's room between bust and you didn't turn out the way people hoped, and that's what this would be if you know there's a middle ground there. It's not pass fail success or failure.
Right.
There can be a middle ground, but I'll throw this out to y'all. What is the standard to deem this rebuild a success to you? So to me, it means some postseason success, but what would you got? Where would you draw the line?
Yeah, that's a great point, Perk. You know, most teams don't achieve every single year. Only one team achieves every year, honestly. Some teams surprise us. They're getting the playoffs. They'll do certain things. But most teams will underachieve because everybody's goal is one goal, and that's winning it all, winning your division first and foremost, winning your conference second, then winning it all after that. So most teams don't achieve what they set out to do. So I'm with you on that. When it comes to a team that is honestly strapped, look at it. Come on, half our salary cap is – you know, it's dead money. We got 13 draft picks. You know, success with this team is anything other, I think for me, anything over what Vegas is telling us. You know what I mean? That's my success of this team. But I do feel like what you're saying, Perk, is important because we got a nucleus, because these guys talked about a nucleus of guys, and they've got these nucleus of guys that they've re-signed for the most part. You know what I mean? And I think that those are the guys that, you know, that have to go out there and overachieve what Zach, JT, and Marino did. You know what I mean? We didn't do shit. Excuse my French, Zavok. You know, we didn't do with all these great players. I played with three Hall of Famers. I played for a Hall of Fame coach. I got a couple other guys that's probably being the Hall of Fame that I play with, and we didn't achieve anything. You know, so it'd be great for these guys to go out there and, in my opinion, overachieve in the next 1 to 2 years because we're not expected to do much. When you got, look at Vegas and we're expected a 4.5. What's over under 4.5 mm-hmm. win?
Yep.
That's not. Come on, man. That's first pick in the draft most of the time, first or second, right? So when we're talking about stuff like that, we're in a situation where, you know, these guys have to have a bigger window. We have to have a longer you know, time to get mm-hmm. to where we need to get because they're so strapped. Marino, Zach wasn't strapped when he came in.
Right.
JT wasn't strapped when he came in. Marino wasn't strapped when he came in. Those guys had teams already that were pretty good when they fucking came into the league. You know what I mean? And ding, so ding, ding. These guys now that have been dismantled with a lot of guys we've lost and then a salary cap problem and a lot of young guys, I got to give those guys I give them a longer runway to be successful because they're strapped more than any team, any players that I've seen or any group that I've seen come in here, even though we kept this nucleus of guys. I do love the nucleus, but the rest of it is so raw that, you know, it's tough for those guys to be able to achieve anytime soon.
You know what? Let me say a couple of things real quick, Juice. I thought your teams, I thought, almost maximized their potential. You were limited at quarterback when you had Jay Fiedler. The other teams, either the offense was there and the defense wasn't, or the defense was there and the offense wasn't. I thought this previous group of Dolphins, the Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, they left way too much meat on the bone.
Yeah.
I thought you guys pretty much maximized your potential, pretty much. I have no problem with your era. Another thing here is that, you know, when I look at when you say they need a longer runway, you don't have that nowadays. Look at what Jacksonville did. Look what New England did. Look what Detroit did. Look what Denver did. Teams are turning these things around in 2 and 3 years. And that's the standard you have to hold this group of Dolphins to, fair or not. That's kind of the way turnarounds and rebuilds are done nowadays in the NFL. And then after that, I would also say that, yeah, I just can't make the excuse that, you know, these other Dolphins teams were already established. No excuses. This is a grown man's league. It's a results-oriented league. Now, I'll say this. I'll say at the bottom line for this season, the major objective is not the one loss record. It's to make sure you have the right people in place, starting with Sully and Half and Willis, and then making sure that you have the right mentality and mindset. Then it's the one loss record. Don't give me 3 wins, but you've got to do that other stuff first.
But Perk, so here's, and Michael Leva just brought it up in the chat. Here's the 800-pound gorilla in the room that we're ignoring. This team hasn't won a playoff game in 25 years.
Neither
have
Detroit.
Now we're saying that these guys are going to win 3 in the next 3 years. This year, it's not going to happen, right?
Right.
You yourself just said it's not going to happen this year. So that means they're going to have to win 3 in the following 2 years, which means at least one of those seasons, they're going to be in a conference championship game. Like, and if they don't do that, it's not a success. I just don't – the math isn't mathing for me.
Okay, that's a low standard, Seth. Detroit hadn't won a playoff game in 31 years. Dan Campbell takes them with his with his risk-taking coaching. He takes them to the NFC Championship. No, cut that, Savant. I like Dan Campbell.
He's not the guy you want coming after you, man.
No, he's not.
You take a shot at Mike McDaniel. I know you can take him, but I don't know if you want Dan Campbell coming after your ass.
I can't take Dan Campbell. but, you know, you have Jared Goff, but you draft well, and you know, that's how you do it. I mean, you've got to figure out a way. The Rams do the F those picks, and they get the free agents. But if you look at the Rams, they also develop picks in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th rounds, right? Cam Kitchens. And all those guys. So you've got to figure out a way. I don't want to hear the excuses. I'm sympathetic. I'm reasonable. I'm understanding.
It's not an excuse. I'm trying to be realistic here, Perk, in terms of what you're setting. I don't think it is a low standard to say that if they win 2 playoff games instead of 3, that it's still successful.
I'm saying that if they want to be the most successful trio in the last 20 years or whatever, they need to
win one.
I know. But again, like, look at what Jacksonville did and Denver, and like, look at what's going on.
Well, you didn't compare
the
them. Your provocative headline didn't compare them to Jacksonville.
It
compared
the
them to 98 to 2000 Miami Dolphins.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm comparing eras, not players. I'm not comparing HM to Marino and you know, JT to Brew and Zach to Brooks, right? It's the era. It's your collective achievement in this set number of years. And by the way, HM, Brooks, and Brew probably get 3 years together, right? Because Brooks and Brew are 28 years old. They're going to be on the wrong side of 30 pretty soon. HM weighs 191 pounds. I'm not sure he's going to be productive for another 4 years, 3 years. So yeah, there is a clock on this team. There on this trio from that standpoint that I don't know. But again, if they don't do it, if they don't get three playoff wins in 3 years, I'm not necessarily going to call them a failure. That's way too harsh. It would just be they're not the most successful trio in the last 20 years of Dolphins history, but you can still have had a good rebuild. I would just not call it a successful rebuild.
You know, Perk, we talk about Dan Campbell a lot, and you look at some, you know, his start in Detroit. You know, we talk about starting off 0-10-1 his first year, right?
Mm-hmm.
1-6 his second year, correct?
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then finally getting off to a good start his third year. That right there, if we're going to allow that, we have to allow our guys, considering what they're coming into, the same opportunity, right?
Yep.
Dan Campbell was honestly a failure as a head coach. He was great here, but then when he got his shot at Detroit, he wasn't very, you know, obviously very good, and then they figured it out. So, I mean, I think that the fact that these guys came in, like I said, so, you know, handcuffed at the beginning, is it about – The players that we're talking about is the nucleus, or are we talking about the coaches and the new coach? I mean, obviously, the new coach and the staff that's coming in to have to, you know, rectify what's been happening for over all these years. And like you said, Big Seth, you know, Mike said that if they find a way to win a playoff game in the next couple of years, I'm gonna be on South Beach like I used to be back in the day, bro.
Of course, but is that successful?
Yes, yes, it is. It's successful. It's successful.
We need to break the seal, man.
Hell yeah!
We need to break.
You gotta start with one to get two. You gotta start with one to get two, Perk.
But it's not a one off. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Perk, you're gonna be down. We're gonna be on Brickell with you, man. When you get this win, we're gonna be kicking it with you on Brickell.
Well, you know, I'm always down there, so that's nothing new for me.
Not with us, though. Okay. Not with us.
Okay, well, you guys tell me generally, what would it one playoff win over the next 2 years, and you would call it a wrap? You would give out the contract extension?
No, we didn't say that.
Okay, define successful rebuild for me. Generally, what would you say? Two playoff wins over a four-year stretch, or what?
The reality is that the bar has been lowered so far here in South Florida. But Perk, it is this town that, you know, I'm going to go bigger picture here, and I tell this to all the Miami Heat guys and everybody else. They get upset. There is no bigger team, no bigger fan base. The Miami Dolphins are what this town is about. And everyone, my son never grew up. He hasn't seen the Miami Dolphins. They put 60,000 asses in that stadium, and they haven't won a playoff game in 25 years. Everything else is a fad. The Dolphins are embedded into the DNA of South Florida. And so what I'm telling you is, if Jeff Hafley –
What are you trying to tell me, Big Seth? What are you trying to tell me?
If Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan – can squeeze a playoff win in the next 2 years, it is a massive success. And then the bar resets after that. But it will be, and so it will become a massive success. And especially if you're saying the next 2 years, when nobody believes they're going to win more than 4.5 games this year. So if they win in the next 2 years, one playoff game, if they win three, like you're talking about, they have surpassed what Dan and JT and Zach did from the standpoint of success on the field, because they will have gone to a conference championship game, most likely.
Right.
So I think that would be a massive success, but then the bar resets, and then the standard has to be reset as well.
See, I wouldn't, I wouldn't call one playoff victory after 2 years that the rebuild is a success. I would say that you're off to a great start. Fantastic start. You have turned heads. You've gotten a, well, like, what would you say? So with Jacksonville last year, you would say that that rebuild is a success? After
Jacksonville hadn't gone 25 years without, and it was, but, it is, you're already comparing them to that standard. It is already successful, but now the bar reset, and now the expectations continue to rise. You know what? And I'm sorry, Juice, I apologize, but Jimmy Johnson used to say that the stakes get higher the more that you win.
Correct.
Right, because when nobody's expecting shit from you, then that's where the expectations are lower.
Yeah.
But then the more you win, the games become more important, the stakes get higher, you're held to a higher standard, the quarterbacks are being evaluated more strictly, you know. So right now the bar is so low that yes, one playoff win, because look how many coaches couldn't do it. Look how many coaches nobody's could win a playoff game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the standard is too low around here.
Yeah,
and I think that's
why
we set it. That's it's been set over 25 years. It's been set that low.
Why is it so low, Bert?
I think it's so low. And like in 2023, I was preaching this. I was writing this that this is not a team that's hit it for playoff success because you can't beat good teams.
Well, you're right.
I don't give a damn that you scored 70 against Denver. Woohoo! The next week you went and got your butt kicked in Buffalo 48-20. That's what matters. That's the standard. Buffalo, not Denver. Buffalo is the standard, and you failed to meet that standard. And then after that, you thought you did meet that standard, and you gave out all these ill-advised contract extensions, including to Tua, and that's why you're in this situation right now. So you've got to raise your standard. You can stop and smell the roses, and I do that in life, and I appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't have that be your destination. That's just a stop on the way to your destination.
I'm going to tell you this, Perk. I'm going to tell you this, man. And I love that you brought up the Denver game because we talked to Eric Ezekama, and he told us, Seth and I, that after that game, they all changed in that locker room, bro. The leaders in that locker room all changed, and they didn't work as hard as they used to work. They thought because they dropped a 70 burger that they could roll out any day after that and roll out a 70 burger. And that was their detriment. That's when they started, reading their own press clippings, as my high school coach used to say. Joe Paterno say, don't read your own press clippings. Yep. And these guys started reading their own press clippings, and the work was not there after that, So I think what it boils down to, we're talking about so many different things here. Yeah. Do we have the right guys now that are going to be able to take success, build on success, or take success and rest on their laurels? You know what I mean? And these guys, I think this coaching staff hopefully won't let these guys take a 70 burger and party around Miami the whole time and not be ready for the next game like you talk about getting blown out.
Right.
Or they take that 70 burger, or if they ever get one again, and build on that. Right. And be able to go out there and learn from that, but also more importantly, learn from what they did wrong in that game.
Right.
Correct. It's like I just think the mentality, it's all the mentality is so has to be different with this football team than it was with the last regime and a lot of key players, because the mentality last year was trash. Hot garbage, trash. Yep. Waste management, for sure. Incinerator, not even recyclable. You know what I mean? It was straight up, So now we just got to make sure we got the right people with the right mindset. When you have success, you take that success and build from it and not sit back and, like, not do the things that got you that success. Yep. And I think that's what happened with the last group of people.
So speaking of hot garbage – ESPN.
Damn, nice. That's a nice segue. Let's see what you got here.
I'm glad they put another one.
I'm like, wait, wow, what's this segue? What is this segue?
ESPN ranked NFL rosters.
Yep.
And they ranked the Miami Dolphins as having the worst roster in the National Football League. What you got, Chad? You thought the Steelers should have been 32?
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about Perk or Savak. I didn't realize what point at.
Thanks, Chad. I appreciate it.
Sorry. I mean,
Chad was about to step in for, you know, 2 weeks of libel. Okay. But yeah.
Oh, Lord.
That's pretty good, Chad. That's pretty good. So yeah, ESPN ranked the Dolphins as having the worst roster in the National Football League. I bring this up for two reasons. Number one, does that change what your expectations are of this team, Perk? Do you agree with ESPN that this is the worst roster in the National Football League? So I, you know, and I ask that question to everybody in terms of, and I am going to be the first to say I have not compared the Dolphins roster to all 31 other rosters in the league, but it seems a little extreme to say it's the worst roster in the National Football League.
I could agree with it, but I'm with you. Who cares? Because it's partly by design, right? When you take that salary cap hit, right, you know you're not going to be a top-flight roster. So it's not like the result of a failed strategy. It's by design. And then the kind of the second part of that is, you know, let's see what they are at the end of the year. That's more important, right? The 2019 Dolphins, right? We know they started off 0-7. We know the first three games they got outscored 133-16, but they finished 5-4 that season, right? So, 5-11 season. So I'm fine with that. ESPN, it's the Dolphins are low-hanging fruit, right? They're a punching bag right now. It's easy, but let's see what they are at the end of the season. Like Juice said, I like the mentality of Sully and Half. This group wouldn't take a 70 burger and relax. They would focus. I like the mentality that is forming with this team. So I think by the end of the season, if they are 32 now, and they might be, I don't think they will be by the end of the season.
Yeah, and also, Big Seth, you think about it, when you got a team that's going to be full of rookies or second-year guys, I mean, you can't. How do you evaluate a roster like that when you've got, you know, our whole D-line are going into a second year, basically, other than Sealer. You know what I mean? You got a whole 13 draft picks that are we're counting on half of those guys to play. You know, you got a new quarterback. You got a whole group of wide receivers that haven't been here other than Malik Washington. You know, you gotta take that with a grain of salt, because you gotta look at the guys that haven't been here, haven't been around. So when you evaluate a roster, you gotta think that's probably pretty accurate when most rosters have a veteran presence, a veteran quarterback, a solid defense or a run game or whatever it might be. So, I mean, I love being the punching bag. I really do.
I agree with that.
As an organization, because, you know, these guys hopefully have some pride about themselves. Mm-hmm. And these guys hopefully, you know, I mean, want to prove people wrong to a point where, you know, that, you know, you got to get out there and strap it up every single Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, too. Well, you know, the NFL plays every day of the week, whatever day they're playing nowadays. But
Sundays,
it is really any given Sunday, you can go out there and get a 70 burger put on you, or you can put a 70 burger on somebody. So it's real football, man. It ain't college ball, man. When you go out there and we're playing, you know, I mean, I love Eastern Michigan, but hell, we knew we was going to put 50 on Eastern Michigan. I mean, it was just it's a guarantee. You know, like, hell, I was gonna build my stats up before I put 150 on Miami, University of Miami, you know. So by the time I got to U of M, I had 350 in two games, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, it doesn't happen like that in the league, man. So I just think that these guys, you know, no matter what, I want them to read these press clippings. I want them to have some motivation when people are telling them they're 32nd in the league when it comes to a roster, when people are telling them, you know, that their team is not going to be very good, when they're telling them they're going to, you know, win no more than four games. I love that. I wish I was in that locker room right now, because I know me being the big voice that I was in that locker room once I was allowed to, you know, Perk, sometimes you guys got to wait. Chad, you got to wait to be the big voice, you know, in the locker room until the other big voices are either quiet or they're gone, which, you know, both kind of happened in my situation, you know. And, you know, wait a minute, real quick. You know, Perk, I was with Zach and JT. Why not me, Zach, and JT? And you put Marino in there. That's messed up, bro. You know, I won MVP twice with Marino on the roster. That's fucked up, Perk.
Juice, if I was going to do foursomes, you were the next name, but I did trios. That's all it was. It was a numbers game, Juice. That's all right,
And Juice, who was on the squad that won the last playoff game? I forget.
I was on that squad.
And Marino wasn't.
He wasn't.
I don't know.
Thank you. And I got a couple big plays in that game too, Chad.
My counsel has turned on me. Damn.
Represent yourself.
There's a conflict of interest going on.
Hey, hold on. For the record, I never approved the headline. It was never ran by me. I never approved the headline.
Oh, I got to make sure this time. Man, I walked into the courtroom with the wrong man.
There it is.
You got to jump on your attorney in front of everybody, and then they'll give you new counsel immediately. Right, you got to jump on his ass.
That's it. Well, hey, one more thing while we're talking about rankings, and I want to get into the legal zone. But also ESPN, and ESPN didn't make this decision, I don't believe. From what I understand, they have their annual position rankings, and they survey league executives, coaches, scouts, and they rank different positions. And Devon Achan did make the list of top 10 running backs, but he was ranked eighth. Now, I don't know how many of you subscribe to Miami Dolphins Today. It's a great newsletter the Pro Football Network guys put out, Miami Dolphins Today. I've been subscribing to it lately, and I really like the stuff they're doing. They were hurt by this ranking of eighth for Devon Achan. Like, I think their headline, Perk, that Chad didn't approve either, was that that Devon Achan was offended, you know, by this ranking. So I want to ask you guys again, and, you know, Chad just stepped away, but since this isn't strictly Dolphins, do we think eight is okay? Should we be offended if we thought he should have been sixth and he's eighth? Like, is that a slight? Do we want him to be slighted a little bit? I mean, boy, Tyreek Hill was pretty excited when he was the number one overall rated player by his peers. And then, you know, then the wheels fell off.
Right.
So how do we feel about an eighth? Chad, I'll start with you because you're a guy who looks beyond just the Dolphins roster. How do you feel about Devon Achan being ranked as the eighth overall running back in the league?
You know, I hate rankings like this. So I'm glad you started with me, but because you first off, you don't know exactly who's ranking him, and obviously every team in the NFL would like a player like Devon Achan. They would like Devon Achan. Like, he's going to fit him, but it's always like at what price are you going to pay him? There's all these other balances that go into it. Right. Because everybody wants him on their squad. And anybody that wouldn't is stupid. And to be top eight in the world at the running back position is pretty ridiculous. And I was writing a separate article from this. He was one of the guys that I really wanted on the USA men's team because I think he would have been really good if we could have had him. Because he just is such a talented athlete individual. And I know, you know, he's not the biggest guy, but he fills so many roles. So I don't think you could take it as a slight at all. I think the worry for anybody that's ranking may be the longevity because he's not the biggest guy.
He's undersized, right?
He's an undersized guy, which is understandable. But, you know, when he gets the ball, he produces.
Yeah, you know what? Slight of size guys don't usually get hit very hard, Chad. And that's what, you know, when they're that fast, you know what I mean? Yeah. Bottom line is, if you want to rank some running backs, look at everybody's fantasy league, man. I mean, you look at your fantasy league. I don't think Devon Achan would be the eighth running back taken off the board in fantasy football come, you know, August or whatever people start picking. I know there's some great running backs. You know, you got, you know, McCaffrey and you got Gibbs and you got, you know, you got all these guys that are really good. You know, Bijan Robinson obviously is top, but you got some dudes that when Devon Achan, when you combine his ability to run the rock and catch the rock, he won't last to eight in the fantasy football draft, you know, when it comes to something like that. Because I think that his ability now, and as much as we're going to use him this year, it's going to be special, man. I think it is a slight. I really do. There's some guys that, you know, that are good. You know, you talking about, like I said, Bijan and Saquon and all those dudes. Mm-hmm. They're nice. But I'm going to tell you what, the young gun, who was our guy, our guy's a young gun right now when you talk about these running backs. McCaffrey, will he be on the field? He's one of the guys that's probably ranked higher than him. You know what I mean? Will he be on the field the whole time? Devon Achane is a young dude that's going to just getting better and better every single year. And I can only imagine how many ways they're going to be able to use him in our offense, you know, with Malik Willis in the back, you know, and certain creativity they're going to be able to come up with. So it's definitely like, because you got a guy that we found out last year, Big Seth, that can run between the tackles. Yeah. Obviously can catch the ball, you know, out of the backfield. I hated that they had him run a wide receiver routes because he can't run wide receiver routes. I don't care what you
thought. Don't let Travis hear you say that.
You can't do that. You can't do that. That was a big problem for me. But at the same time, though, man, everything else about him was special, man. So, yeah, definitely a slight. And I hope that we talked about being ranked 32nd roster. I hope being ranked 8th running back is a fire in his ass to go out there and show these dudes that, look, I'm that dude. I was just at the Pro Bowl. I'm that dude. And he is that dude, man. And I'm looking forward to him having a big season and looking forward to seeing the creative things they come up with for him.
Real quick, Seth, though, just between 8th running back and 1st running back, man, that's razor thin. And a lot has to happen.
It ain't on paper. It ain't razor thin. When they put it out there in print, that's wide open. That's wide open, Chad.
But no, like, who's the number? Whoever the number one, Jahmyr Gibbs, whoever it is, like
Bijan Robinson is probably number one.
Bijan is one, Gibbs is two. So,
yeah,
I think it's razor thin between if he was put in the right situation, and hopefully he is this year. I think he could be the number one or number two. It just depends on the situation, and you know that. Like as a wide receiver, you needed the right quarterback, you needed the offensive line. Same thing with the running back.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this: his offensive line. I would love to run behind those big MFers. I would love to hide. I'd love to run left. That's for damn sure. I would be running. Hey yo, I'll be like, if we were running right, I'd be in the backfield called Riverside. That means flip it. Let's run left instead. Look, we might have had the advantage on the left side, but our weight, our mass on the left side is way bigger than anybody else's mass on the left side and their right side for sure.
Indeed. Good stuff.
I think that first of all, I think the voting was done by GMs and scouts, if I'm not mistaken. Jeremy Fowler did it for ESPN, but I think he polled GMs and scouts. I think that's an honor for Achane. I really do, and I think it's a good ranking for him. Off the top of my head, who's in front of him, Seth? Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs and CMC Saquon. And Derrick Henry, Saquon.
Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor. That's a good group.
And James
that's
Cook.
James Cook, that's a solid group. Look, I think it's an honor for Achane because you have been the number three offensive option, right? Behind Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle, you still ball. Last year, you proved that you can stay healthy. You can be that alpha male. When the offense goes to crap, you were the guy who held it together. So that's recognition of that also. Achane hasn't done it for that long. So this is also recognition of, hey, 3 years, you're number 8 and you're still on the rise. I think it's all positive for Achane. I really do. Now, I'll go Jimmy Johnson, who you quoted earlier, Seth, as you have more success, the bar goes higher. But I think right now for what Achane has done, 8 is accurate. 8 is an honor. After next year, maybe you could say he should be 5 or 6 or whatever. But I really do think that's a fair, accurate, honorable recognition of what Achane has done.
Chad, my headline, I just want to make sure you're okay with this. Chris Perkins, Achane, you're 8th and you'll like it. Is that can we go with that?
Achane, you're the
8th and you'll like it.
You're 8th and you'll like it.
Yeah.
Or we'll cut.
No. All right, I just want to make sure. All right, so listen,
top 25%. Come on.
We have plenty of dead cap hits. We're whatever. What's more? Add it to it.
That's a great point. So, Chad, do we have a Legal Zone topic tonight?
You know, Seth, I just wanted the Legal Zone topic to be about the U.S. men's team. That's all I wanted to say about today. Legally, they brought the country a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. And then they pulled a Dolphins move and they shit the bed.
Everybody
feels the same way about them.
We scored that 70 points, and then the next week we lost.
And I
really hope, and I previewed it earlier that I was going through who the best 11 we can put out there as far as athletes. If we had our athletes start at 5 years old playing soccer the entire time, I think we would dominate the world.
Yeah,
but the problem is we have our 1,000th best athlete playing.
And
it shows, because these guys, man, from these small countries too, like compared to our countries, these small countries,
they just
dominate. And so it was in Hard Rock Stadium. I'll still call it Hard Rock Stadium because I'm not calling it Miami Stadium. FIFA's not paying me shit, so I don't give a damn about that.
Ding, ding.
Not a fish tank topic.
So legally speaking, I feel like we are obligated now that the United States is out, Mexico's out, Canada's out, so the host countries are out. But there's only one team that we can cheer for, and it is my neighbor, Lionel Messi. Even though they might have cheated as well.
Is that a flex?
I think
yeah, yeah. Definitely a flex.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my neighbor. It's all good. Okay. That's what we do in Fort Lauderdale. We have people like Lionel Messi. So go Argentina. The legal zone today was taken care of earlier today, but it really brought so much excitement. Like, you should have seen, I don't know, have you guys seen the crowd around my office for the Columbia when they were there? Like, there was 100,000 people.
There
for the bus to go out. Actually, Chris's coworker, David Lyons, was in my office reporting from my office.
Really? Nice.
There was nowhere to like park or see. So FIFA has been great for the community. I wish the United States would have went farther and take the over on Dolphins victories this year. That's all I got.
How about that?
That is like a legal zone. I tried to tell y'all.
All in one. So we won't come back to him later.
Poor law group. Thank you, Chad. Fabulous. So, Juice, you're kind of kicking off. I tried to tell y'all, but kind of not.
Yeah, I guess I am. I guess I'm gonna try to kick this shit off. Damn. Hey, come on, Spock. You're tripping.
Spock, he's gonna start talking to you like a kicker. Hey. Yeah, one damn.
So we're all kind of on the same page here. I think Perkins said he hinted that he might be on the same page. But, you know, this I tried to tell y'all is really inspired by a tweet by my man Mauricio. You know, so I tried to tell y'all been hyping these boys up like they're built for the bright lights, like the moment's going to elevate them. Nah, on the biggest stages, when the world was watching, both Tua – and United States men's national team straight wet the bed. And I tried to tell y'all. Tua Tagovailoa, you know, the kid with the arm talent, the quick release, the rhythm in the pocket, regular season wizard. But when the lights get national and the pressure hits, turnovers pile up, big moments shrink, and the doubts that always lingered come roaring back. We saw it in Miami. Those cold weather games, those playoff spots, those times where almost wasn't enough. Now he's in Atlanta fighting for snaps. Talent never been the question with Tua. Big stage killer instinct. Now we're still waiting for that chapter for him. Enter Malik Willis. This is exactly why the Miami Dolphins moved on and put the keys in his hands. Dual threat menace with elite athleticism, a cannon for an arm, and legs that can extend plays or punish defenses on the ground. In big games, he brings that swagger, that playmaking ability that flips the script, scrambling out of trouble, hitting deep shots, and keeping defenses honest with his mobility. No more watching the pocket collapse and the play die. That's what I love more than anything. Willis creates when it matters. And cold weather games, forget about it. We saw what he can do in Green Bay, driving in the frozen tundra where others fold. He's built for those brutal conditions. Strong base, toughness, and ability to run through the snow while still delivering strikes. Miami finally has a quarterback who doesn't disappear when the wind howls and the temperatures drop. Picture me rolling. That's, you know, Tupac. You know, there you go. Into this big moments with Tupac energy. Outlaws in the field, refusing to fold under pressure. Change ain't coming if you keep doing the same thing. Willis got that warrior spirit. Keep your head up, Perk, through the storms. Hit them with the unexpected and rise above the skeptics. This ain't football. It's survival of the fittest on the biggest stages. Meanwhile, the U.S. women's national team shows exactly how it's done. While the men collapse on the grand stage, the women keep delivering, winning World Cups, Olympic gold, and stepping up when the world is watching. They bring that clutch mentality, that resilience, that championship pedigree time and time again. No excuses, just results. That's the standard. Then you got, again, the U.S. men's national team hosting the World Cup on home soil, nation behind them, golden generation vibes, and then they lay an egg against Belgium in the round of 16, losing 4-1. Now, Tim Ream, he had the most awful night of anybody I've ever seen in soccer, you know. And we can say Trump cursed him, but 45, 47 wasn't on the pitch. He wasn't even out there. So, my goodness, man, a collapse on a night where America expected magic is the same old story. Promise, flash, then the weight of the moment hits, and poof, dreams deferred again. Look, I love the athletes. I love the grind. I played midget football, Marion, to Penn State, to catch and pass Namorino on Sundays. I know what it takes, but I know this. Talent gets you to the stage. Heart, focus, education, execution, and the right fit when millions are watching. That's what separates. Two in the U.S. men's national team show flashes and then folded. Willis, he's the type of that, you know, I think he can rise to the spot and he's going to be doing well. Tupac. I love Tupac. Turning pain into power and doubt into dominance. The women prove it, and it's always possible. Y'all keep making excuses, weather, refs, they were due, whatever. I tried to tell y'all, proof is in the pudding. Big stage performances, don't lie. Time to build different with Malik under center. Time to demand more, like Perk said. I tried to tell y'all.
Well, there you have it. Wow.
I like it. Tupac, women's national team, men's national team, Dolphins, Tua.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. Let's go. That's hard to follow.
Well, we'll do you a solid. We'll let Savako before you.
There you go. All right.
Savako,
there,
you have
here,
one?
Here comes the video.
Come on, man. We had 2 weeks to get something ready.
It's been a wild 2 weeks.
Well, I want to hear about that. We had a separate podcast.
Not here. All right. Not here.
Not in this space, gentlemen. So they got to sit. Seriously, Savak is very serious tonight. Well, Perk, you're going to have to follow it. What'd you try to tell us?
All right. I tried to tell y'all there are comparisons between Dolphins fans and U.S. men's national team fans, and the common denominator is disappointment. And look, the Dolphins fans, I've always compared both of these two fan bases to Lucy and Charlie Brown. You know, when Charlie Brown is going to kick the football, and every time he's just confident, Lucy is going to keep that ball there. He runs up to it, Lucy pulls the ball, and he falls on his back. And that's what happens to Dolphins fans. That's what happens to U.S. men's national team fans. I feel for both groups. But my frustration is greater for the men's national team fans, because my whole life, for over 50 years, I've been hearing that the men's national team is about to turn a corner. They're about to get good. Soccer is on the rise. Enthusiasm is high. And then it's just disappointment. And what I hate is everybody makes excuses for them. Hey, good effort. Good job. I'm not sure that it was a good effort. I'm not sure that it was a good job. you beat Paraguay. That was great. You beat Australia. That was expected. You lost to Turkey. I understand you were resting a lot of people. You beat a bad Bosnia team. They might have been the worst team in the round of 32. And then you get smoked by Belgium. And look, there's really no shame in getting beaten by Belgium. The U.S., if I'm not mistaken, was 16 in the world, and Belgium was number 8. Belgium was supposed to win, but they were shook. They were shook all night. They were never in that game. And that's what disappoints me. And that's what makes me feel bad for the U.S. men's national team fans, myself included. So there are similarities between the plight and disappointment of these two fan groups. I hope good things are coming for both of them, for the Dolphins this year, for the U.S. men's national team. I'll talk about you in another 4 years, out of sight, out of mind. I'm sorry, I'm not a soccer fan. That's the way it is. But I feel bad for both fan bases. I see similarities, I tried to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth, I need a 12-second I tried to tell y'all. Because
you got it, bud.
All right.
You can take some box time. You can
great stuff.
I'm going to take some box time. So I try to tell y'all, one of my heroes in my life is my grandfather, and he played soccer growing up. He came over from England, and his brother, Robert Craddock, played for the 1950 FIFA World Cup team.
Mm.
And he was part of the first squad that ever beat England in football. Obviously, we just celebrated something about beating England a few days ago. And I feel like this match might have hurt worse, honestly. I grew up and I know I look like a football player, not a football player or a basketball player or anything else, but I grew up playing soccer at, like, from 2-3 years old, and with my Uncle Bob and my grandfather, his name's Thomas Craddock, but they told me some fantastic stories and the rivalry.
Uncle Tom.
That's right. The rivalry is
incredible. No, that's my dude. That's my dude. That's my dude.
But it is amazing though how like the world impacts, and I know we talked about it a little bit last time we talked about it, 2 weeks ago as well, where people are seeing the United States for what it is, and it's a great country, and when people come in here, like obviously politics and the national whatever, yeah. But when you come here and you meet the real people and you see amazing people on podcasts like this, you understand what we're about, and I'll never forget my grandfather and my uncle were that, and they were so proud that they were part of that team that beat England. And brought soccer to America, or football to America, and then called it soccer. And they were two of the people too. They're like, we are not calling it football. Like, right. This is soccer. We're in America. This is what it is. And we beat your ass. Yeah. And that's what we did 1776. And that's what they did in 1950. And that's part of my legacy. So I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, unfortunately both are passed away at this point, but they passed down those stories for so many years.
Awesome stuff. And Seth, before you do yours, man, I echo what Chad is talking about, man, because it has been great. You know, I think we talked about this a little bit before we got on the air about how everybody around the world has loved everything about America. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when it comes to World Cup, Olympics, and things like that, it's the only time I've seen this country come together as one, you know. And honestly, you know, it sucks that we are so divided on certain things. But one thing we all do love is this country. And we love watching mm-hmm. our athletes go out there and compete, you know, and especially as one. Wearing that red, white, and blue. And some people get it twisted. They think people hate them. Nobody in America hates America. Nobody. Everybody that comes to America wants to be in America. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people that come in now experiencing America, like, damn, I love America, because America is a great place for the most part. But don't get it twisted that America can't be better, and it should be better in a lot of different areas. But I'm with you, Chad. It sucks that we can't root for our team on Friday night.
You know what I mean? Because I know that, you know, every bar, restaurant, mm-hmm. whenever it might be packed, you know, what wearing the red, white, and blue. I was at the quarter deck, you know, the other day wearing my red, white, and blue, you know, and it was every black, white, yellow, green person that loves America was there rooting for the same team, man. And, you know, I'm happy and thank you for sharing your family history about, you know, bringing this country together under one flag, under one under those three colors. And because we don't all the time, we get now, you know, then we get to the fall, we get divided again. Bro, I wish they could have the Olympics and World Cup every year. I'm alternating and we could all come together for this stuff time after time after time, because the only time we come together, bro. It's unfortunate.
I think that's the mic drop. Yeah, I don't think I need to try to tell anybody anything. I think we ended on that. Mine's evergreen. I can use it for next week.
Perfect, Nick Seth. Get us out of here then, Nick Seth.
Well, I think that's your role, Deuce.
All right, everybody. Sorry I got a little long-winded, but everybody, thanks for diving in.
Drive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Woo. Man. Ooh, and... This is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank.